brought to you by Penguin.
The Liars by Catherine Fleet, read by Rebecca Lee. The wide green eye of the pool had been there from the beginning of everything. It knew death of old and didn't much care for human drama, which was always so fleeting. Theirs were such small lives, passing in moments, leaving no mark, signifying nothing. Until this one. In her, the pool recognised a very different creature. A seam of rock at her core, dense and unyielding. Something of the ancient running through her. Something of the ancients. It waited to see what she'd come for. She stepped into the clearing, the edge of the water just feet away. She didn't mind the near dark of night, her heartbeat steady and slow. Her skin gave off a dull gleam where the moonlight had lanced the canopy of trees. The pool understood then that she was angry, and there was something ancient about this, too. It was like the fury the gods had once felt. There was no heat or fire in it. It went beyond that. It was pitiless, and without passion or doubt, it sparks not from fire, but as when metal strikes ice. A noise in the undergrowth, clumsy footsteps blundering and breaking twigs, made her head lift. She moved silently behind a tree. Aha, thought the pool. She's come for vengeance. Now. I get a taxi from the island's tiny ferry port. I didn't think it would be wise to drive a hire car tonight, negotiating hairpin bends in the dark. I'd been awake since before dawn because I wanted 3 clear hours at the airport. I'd been feeling anxious about the flight and didn't want even a hint of rush. I knew my thoughts would otherwise tend towards the catastrophic, bird strikes and black boxes. Nightfall makes it difficult to tell, but things must have altered since I was last here. Change is inevitable, especially in desirable places, and there are definitely more lights winking from the dark hills that flank the road, a star scattering of creeping development. There's a line in a song my brain is too jittery and tired to retrieve, something about losing paradise, if you call it that. I don't even know if I want it to be different or not. Nostalgia and dread battling it out. Whatever other changes might be hidden in the dark, it's still only 15 minutes from one end of Eos to the other. Richard's house, my mother's now, I remember with a lurch, is in the far north of the island, caught between the wild west coast, where the sun goes down each evening in a blaze of ostentatious glory, and the tranquil white stone beaches of the east. I open the window to smell the air, the foreignness of it, its warmth without edge, so different from the English night. It's headier than I recall, herbal and floral, cut with sea salt. But then, it's spring now, everything's still new. It was August when I was here before. It had already been sweltering for weeks, the air smelling mostly of baked dust and sun cream. I tell the driver he doesn't need to take me up to the top of the drive. It's steep and winding and tricky to turn at the top. But he does it anyway. Maybe because I'm a woman. Maybe because he doesn't understand. He'll have to reverse down, tail lights illuminating the shrubbery that will reach out to scratch his paintwork. There was only one taxi serving the island back in the day. A dusty saloon with pleather seats that stuck to hot legs. This man doesn't look familiar, but lots of people are unrecognisable decades later, aren't they? Probably I am, too. It's as I'm handing over some cash, euros, these days, that he mentions her. I can't think of anything to say, so he assumes I haven't heard and repeats himself, his English good after all. I meet his eyes briefly in the mirror. He can't be much older than 30. It's probably his father's taxi company. He's too young for the beaded seat mat.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?